The Bible reading this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 10, if you can follow along on the back of your sheet. Romans 12, verses 1 to 10. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has given you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Thanks, Karen. Well, today it's all about gifts and giving gifts, and particularly about gifts that keep on giving. So that was the theme of that last game that we played with the eggs. The chickens, that lay eggs, the seeds that, of course, grow into beautiful flowers and fruit, and the book that gives delight over and over again. Now, I reckon that the idea of a gift that keeps on giving is a pretty good one when trying to find the perfect gift. And I certainly find choosing gifts a difficult challenge. That could be a good guide. I should say that when I was getting some advice about what are gifts that keep on giving, someone did suggest a can of beans, and we chose not to include that. Those three people will be glad, although maybe Elise is wishing she had a can of beans instead of two chickens to look after. Now, if you think about the gospel, if you think about the good news that Jesus died to pay for our sins and offer us free forgiveness and make us friends with God, well, I think you might see how it's also a gift that keeps on giving. In fact, like a chicken that lays eggs that can feed us, the gospel is the word of God that can enter into us and feed us, not so much our bodies, but our spirits and our souls. It can help us to know God and grow us that way. Like a seed, it may start just as that first small, simple idea that God loves us, that he has loved us in Jesus. And the more we reflect on the gospel and God's goodness to us, the gospel grows inside of us and starts taking over our lives. And like a great book, well, the gospel is a story that never really grows old, isn't it? Have you found that? That the good news of Jesus isn't something that you get sick of hearing, but you want to hear it again and again and again in new and fresh and exciting ways so that you can live your life, build your life upon that. So the gospel is a gift that truly keeps on giving. The gospel is also a gift designed to keep on giving in another way. And I think Romans 12, the passage that Karen read for us, helps us to think about that way. I actually haven't got a copy. Sorry. I didn't go through the front door this morning. Thanks, Suze. So let's read the first couple of verses together, which say, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, that's just the first verse. But when we capture a vision of God's mercy, we read there, in view of God's mercy, when we understand that Jesus, we didn't deserve him. When we understand that what we deserve was rather God's wrath and anger, judgment because of our sin, but instead he gave us Jesus. Well, in view of that, it changes the way that we see everything else, or at least it should. The gospel has the power to come to us as a gift and then completely change the way that we think about ourselves in relationship with each other. Jesus gives himself to us and then he transforms our minds and transforms our lives and renews our minds to such an extent that we now want to live for each other. We want to live our lives as a gift to each other. So the gift comes to us, it's Jesus, transforms us, makes us want to live our lives as a gift to each other. So the good news about Jesus isn't just a gift to us, it's also meant to be a gift through us to each other. So what does this renewed mind and transformed life look like? Well, the rest of the chapter tells us lots, but at least three things I want to draw out from these few verses. And the first is that we're to stop thinking of ourselves as selves. That is fundamentally distinct and separate. Instead, we're to think of ourselves as members. So read verses 3 to 5. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you. And what does that look like? Well, the next verse tells us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That means that if we belong to Jesus, then we belong to each other. In that very real, I own you and you own me kind of belonging way. That's radical, isn't it? Instead of thinking of ourselves highly, distinguishing ourselves from others, which is the pattern of the world, the gospel sets us free to think of ourselves in a new way, as dependent members of something bigger than ourselves, members of a body. And that's what we're meant to love more than we even love ourselves. So the first thing is, rather than thinking of ourselves as selves, think of ourselves as members, people who belong to others. And secondly, because we're members, we're to stop thinking of our abilities as things to use for our own good, but instead as gifts to serve the good of the whole. Now, one of the things I love about a day like today, about Celebration Sunday, is the fact that it takes so many contributions to pull it off. You know, from all the planning stages through to right at this minute, people are working, have been working, and are still working really hard just to make it work. You know, at 9:29, we discovered that the meat wasn't exactly cooking as it was meant to. A new plan was needed. It's okay, it'll be safe to eat by the time we get to it. But there are so many people who contribute. Have a look around you. Luke Thomas tells me that he's got a stomach full of string because he had to lick the ends of the string to get it through all this bunting. And he's going to cough up a fur ball, he thinks, like a cat at some stage on the weekend. But it's probably 100 people who have contributed, maybe even more, to make a day like this work, working together as members of a body. But the real challenge is to keep offering ourselves. You see that at the beginning? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. That means we don't offer ourselves once and get killed, and then that's all we can offer. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices again and again and again, constantly. And that's how it ought to be in God's family. We don't just make sacrifices, we are sacrifices. Not just once a year or on the odd occasion, but day in, day out, all year. And that's hard work. But a clear view of God's mercy will make us want to do it because we love the one who loves us. We love those he loves. And we love those who he has given us to love. And that brings us to the third thing, that we're to make sure that we don't get so wrapped up in using our particular gifts, and you see the list of gifts there in the passage, but that we don't get so wrapped up in using those gifts that we lose sight of making the most of the one gift that's given to all of us, and that is love to give to each other. Read the last couple of verses down the bottom. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. That is a great motto for a church family, isn't it? You know, whatever individual gifts we might have, God gives each one of us a full measure of that gift, love for each other through the mercy of God. It's quite common, you know, in churches for people to feel like they're on the edge of things because they don't have a role or a job to do or a title. Or maybe they do have one, but they feel like it's not very important, they're not being recognized. You know, thinking like that, that's the pattern of the world, isn't it? It is making it about ourselves. The truth is, we all have the most important role to play. We all share it. We know it's the most important because it's the role that Jesus played. It's the role to give ourselves in sacrifice to one another, to love one another. Church family, it's Celebration Sunday, and let's celebrate the fact that in Jesus we've been given the greatest gift, a gift that's designed to keep on giving. And as part of our celebration, let's commit to living together throughout the year ahead with the renewed and transformed life and a clear view of God that His mercy makes possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have so much to celebrate, that just being together is cause for celebration because we know how it is that we come together and who it is that has brought us together. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus, that He gave Himself as our final sacrifice, the one who could deal with our sin and bring us forgiveness and make us Your not only Your friends but Your family and draw us into relationship with each other too as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, please help us to live out the life of love that You've called us to as brothers and sisters, not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought, but instead thinking of ourselves as members of the body of Jesus, as if anything could be better than that anyway. Father, give us love for one another, not just occasionally, but a constant love renewed by a great view of Your mercy and by the Holy Spirit who You have given us. Make us a church family that really does love one another deeply from the heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.